Now turn to part three. You will hear part of an interview in which two experts, called Kirsten Neat and Anton Best, are discussing the idea of what's called information overload. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer, A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 70 seconds to look at part three.
Hello. My guests today are Anton Best and Kirsten Neat, and we're going to be talking about what's called information overload. In other words, the imbalance between the information people feel they should absorb and what they can actually absorb in practice. And though it's tempting to think of it as a modern phenomenon, I believe that may not really be the case. Right, Anton?
Well, the Roman philosopher Seneca actually articulated the problem almost two millennia ago when he complained about people buying tons of books and then never reading them. He felt they'd be better off mastering a few good books and not letting themselves get sidetracked by faddish new things. His concern over a loss of quality of intellectual life was clearly expressed, and this is precisely what worries me today. I mean, even in Seneca's time, there were people who were full of enthusiasm for the multitude of books, and we have exactly that kind of attitude today to overload, because we have focused on accumulating and storing and wanting more.
But surely there's a difference today in terms of the sheer volume of material we can churn out at the press of a button.
Absolutely. The scale of information management and accumulation we have is absolutely mind-boggling. And yet, I suppose from the individual human perspective, the overload was already present with much less staff. Of course, luckily, technology gives us the means to deal with it all, with all kinds of automated methods of sifting through, so we can easily find what we're looking for.
Is it possible to just do without much of this information? I mean, so much of it is worthless or irrelevant.
We can't just shut it down and decide, OK, we're going to put our heads in the sand and ignore all this stuff. We have this material accumulated because of the labour of generations before us who often had it much harder than we did. And I'm inclined to feel that we have no option but to manage it and to teach ourselves how to use it well. I think we need to make sure we use our minds and not lose sight of the importance of human judgment in managing information, rather than relying on the power of computers.
So, would you say we're getting on top of the problem of information overload?
Well, we find that we have a whole lot of facts and statistics being thrown at us, and we find that the convenience of the internet means that it is much, much easier to throw half a thought in an email and send it off to somebody else and sort out any queries and issues that way. But too often, all that happens is a chain of incomplete messages being produced, which solves little, if anything.
I think everybody, including organisations, well, they see multitasking as the general way to handle the huge increase in information. But quite frankly, while it makes us feel efficient, evidence suggests people are making more errors and, in overall terms, taking more time. And this research is really quite at odds with the fact that people do feel as if they're being more efficient by multitasking.
What are the major workplace positives for you, Kirsten?
Well, quite clearly, with a greater volume of information, you can do more, and if you have more readily available information, then you can respond more quickly. The fact that a business will know very quickly, thanks to social networking sites, if a customer is unhappy is a remarkable thing. But above and beyond that, I think there's an increasing involvement of the whole workforce in new lines of goods.
Changing the subject completely, there must be a lot of information overload in something like the food industry.
Oh, there is, yes, on dieting, for example. And there's just so much of it that if you take it all in and take it at face value, it ends up being contradictory. Don't combine food types. Don't eat breakfast. Don't eat protein. Do eat protein. So I think the message has to be to figure out what works for you and stick with it. And ditch the rest, even if that's only a minuscule part of the whole available. Maybe that attitude should be adopted towards information overload in general. Believe me, I've been through all this, and that was certainly the conclusion I came to.
Let's turn now to the question of information overload.
Now you'll hear part three again.
Hello. My guests today are Anton Best and Kirsten Neat, and we're going to be talking about what's called information overload. In other words, the imbalance between the information people feel they should absorb and what they can actually absorb in practice. And though it's tempting to think of it as a modern phenomenon, I believe that may not really be the case. Right, Anton?
Well, the Roman philosopher Seneca actually articulated the problem almost 2 millennia ago when he complained about people buying tons of books and then never reading them. He felt they'd be better off mastering a few good books and not letting themselves get sidetracked by faddish new things. His concern over a loss of quality of intellectual life was clearly expressed, and this is precisely what worries me today. I mean, even in Seneca's time, there were people who were full of enthusiasm for the multitude of books, and we have exactly that kind of attitude today to overload, because we have focused on accumulating and storing and wanting more.
But surely there's a difference today in terms of the sheer volume of material we can churn out at the press of a button.
Absolutely. The scale of information management and accumulation we have is absolutely mind-boggling. And yet, I suppose from the individual human perspective, the overload was already present with much less stuff. Of course, luckily, technology gives us the means to deal with it all, with all kinds of automated methods of sifting through, so we can easily find what we're looking for.
Is it possible to just do without much of this information? I mean, so much of it is worthless or irrelevant.
We can't just shut it down and decide, OK, we're going to put our heads in the sand and ignore all this stuff. We have this material accumulated because of the labour of generations before us who often had it much harder than we did. And I'm inclined to feel that we have no option but to manage it and to teach ourselves how to use it well. I think we need to make sure we use our minds and not lose sight of the importance of human judgment in managing information rather than relying on the power of computers.
So, would you say we're getting on top of the problem of information overload?
Well, we find that we have a whole lot of facts and statistics being thrown at us, and we find that the convenience of the internet means that it is much, much easier to throw half a thought in an email and send it off to somebody else and sort out any queries and issues that way. But too often, all that happens is a chain of incomplete messages being produced, which solves little, if anything.
I think everybody, including organisations, well, they see multitasking as the general way to handle the huge increase in information. But quite frankly, while it makes us feel efficient, evidence suggests people are making more errors and, in overall terms, taking more time. And this research is really quite at odds with the fact that people do feel as if they're being more efficient by multitasking.
What are the major workplace positives for you, Kirsten?
Well, quite clearly, with a greater volume of information, you can do more, and if you have more readily available information, then you can respond more quickly. The fact that a business will know very quickly, thanks to social networking sites, if a customer is unhappy is a remarkable thing. But above and beyond that, I think there's an increasing involvement of the whole workforce in new lines of goods.
Changing the subject completely, there must be a lot of information overload in something like the food industry.
Oh, there is, yes, on dieting, for example. And there's just so much of it that if you take it all in and take it at face value, it ends up being contradictory. Don't combine food types. Don't eat breakfast. Don't eat protein. Do eat protein. So I think the message has to be to figure out what works for you and stick with it. And ditch the rest, even if that's only a minuscule part of the whole available. Maybe that attitude should be adopted towards information overload in general. Believe me, I've been through all this, and that was certainly the conclusion I came to.
Let's turn now to the question of information overload.
That's the end of part 3.